gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. It is a Wednesday, and I hope it's a wonderful Wednesday for you. And today is a special day for my wife and I. It's our anniversary, and every time I think of the fact that she fell in love with me and has stuck with me all these years is, and she doesn't like it when I say this, but I thank God that she had temporary blindness when we were dating, because, and this is a true story, her friends would tell her back then, "You can do so much better than him." I'm thankful that she didn't listen to them, but I hadn't grown into my face yet, I don't think. But she has, she's a wonderful cook and has really been taking wonderful care of our family. She is a phenomenal lover of Jesus, and she is a phenomenal mother, wife, and pastor's wife, and she loves her ladies at church. She heads up the women's ministry by choice, not because that's something that comes with being a pastor. She prefers to do that, and she loves those ladies. Where a lot of people have drawings by their kids or their grandkids on their refrigerator, she has prayer reminders, prayer magnets on our refrigerator, and she uses those to keep track of the ladies that she is praying for at Merit Assembly of God. If you don't have anybody to pray for you, contact us at Merit Assembly of God. Come and be a part of what God is doing. And we ask people when they come to visit to fill out a visitor's card, not because we're going to pound their door down or, you know, destroy their mailbox with tons of mail. We just want to pray for people, and that seeing it written down helps me to remember people's names, because that's not one of my great strengths. So happy anniversary, my love. I love you, and looking forward to spending the day with you today. So this coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. I'll be preaching a message that God has laid on my heart. It's also Communion Sunday, and it is the Sunday before we celebrate our 70th anniversary at the church. And so we are very excited about that. So we'll tell you more about those festivities coming up in next week's program. But very excited about what God is doing. So let's go back today. Oh, before we go there, let me say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. If you've got any block work or concrete work, primarily concrete work, whether it's a sidewalk, a pad, whether it's a place for your RV to sit on, if it's a foundation for a building, whatever it might be, give them a call. They have the experience and the expertise that is going to make your project get off to a fantastic start, a solid start, and a stable start. And you will be glad that you called them. They are who we use at Merit Assembly of God. And like I've said before, the greatest compliment that I think I ever heard about their work was when a contractor was going to be doing a job. And I said, okay, now, this is who I want to do the concrete portion of this job. And he said, well, Pastor, your concrete person is my concrete person. And so I know contractors, if you're not good at what you do, they'll find somebody else. And Jits Concrete has been around for decades and decades, and they will be a blessing to you as they've been a blessing to us. Give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So let's go back to verse number 27 in Acts chapter 4 today. And we'll read that, and then we'll pick up where we left off on yesterday's program around verse number 29. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So the threats of the enemy are designed to shut God's people up. The threats of the enemy are designed to silence us from speaking what God would have us to speak. The threats of the enemy are to immobilize us so that we do not walk out the plans and the purposes that God has. But I want to remind you that the devil is a liar. He's a thief. He is not interested in your preservation. He is not interested in your well-being or your benefit. He is your enemy. He is a hostile foe who has declared spiritual war against you, and you should not listen to him. I should not listen to him. And those threats, he presents those threats in such a way that says, if you don't do these things, then it will keep you safe. But if we don't do the things that God has commanded us, then there are people who will not be saved, there are people who will not be healed, and there are miracles that will not be accomplished. So I want to encourage you to not just to pray and ask God to look on the threats that have been made against you. But I want you to ask God to bestow to his servant, that would be you, it was Peter and John in this case, that servant would be me, that God, you would empower your servants, that you would give to your servants a tenacity and a boldness, that with all boldness that we may speak your word. Okay? So I want you to know that the devil's threats cannot withhold God from granting you what you need to accomplish the purpose. By the way, if God commissions it, God will provide the provision for it. It's just the reality. If he has told you to do something, he is going to give you the natural resources, the emotional resources, the physical resources. Everything that you need is going to be provided. Moses described himself as having a stammering tongue. The book of Acts describes Moses as a person who was powerful in word and action. Moses said, God, you're going to need to send somebody else. I can't do this. And he said, okay, well, we'll let Aaron be your mouthpiece. And there are a lot of stories where Aaron and Moses go to Pharaoh together, but very rarely do you ever hear of Moses being at a loss for words when he's standing there before Pharaoh. God took a reluctant shepherd who was on the run from his past and transformed him into a powerful prophet and spokesperson that brought liberty and freedom to millions of people. Do not sell yourself short. I'm not trying to encourage you to be bold in yourself. What I am trying to encourage you is to receive the courage and the boldness from God that is necessary to take the step of faith that God wants you to take. Okay? So I would also tell you this, that when you are serving Him and He's making the provision, that it does not necessarily mean that you are going to be operating from a mindset that says, I'm sure I'm going to be able to pull this off. I'm not one that's much into presumption. I'm one that's really into what God is able to do. So I'm not encouraging you to try and find the boldness within yourself. I'm trying to encourage you to find boldness at the throne of grace, that you can find help in time of need. God is sufficient. There is not a problem you face or a task you've been assigned that is so big that God cannot accomplish that. So they said, God, we need boldness to speak your word. What area of life do you need boldness in? Did you know that many believers, most believers actually, won't ever tell anyone else about Jesus because they live with some insecurities and some fear that says you haven't been trained well enough, you don't know the word well enough, you might mess something up. Okay? So let me tell you something. There have been times when I've spoken with people and I wasn't trained well enough. There have been times when I've spoken to people about Jesus and I didn't know the word well enough. And there have been times when I have spoken to people and I just wasn't up to the task at that point in time. And I'm here to tell you that in 2022, I lived through the process. The world didn't come crashing down. I had a person literally tell me this one time. We had invited them to church, and they said, "No, I don't want to do that to your church. If I enter a church, the roof will cave in." We'd just had the roof redone, and I said, "Look, I've had the roof inspected. I've had people tell me they would ride out a hurricane in our structure. You don't have to live with that irrational fear." And so the disciples needed boldness to speak the word of God. You may need boldness to live out your faith in front of your family. I want to encourage you, if you lack boldness, ask God to give you the boldness that you need. Another translation put it that we could operate with great confidence. So it's not bravado. It's not, you know, some phony manifestation of expectation that other people have, but it is a boldness and having a great confidence when you speak the word of God. And he says this, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So the signs and the wonders, the miracles, are all a result of God stretching out his hand to assist his people. You know, we're all familiar with that expression, or most of us are. I need a hand over here. And when we were growing up, if somebody said that, we would just start clapping, or we would stretch out a hand towards them and say, well, how's this? Will this one do? But when we say we need a hand, what we are actually saying is we need some help. And God is saying, I'm going to stretch out my hand. I'm going to get hands-on involved in this process. You've been threatened. I'm going to give you boldness and great confidence, and I'm going to put my hand into the equation. You know, when I was going to school, I did math was one of my favorite subjects. I did struggle with a class called pre-algebra, which, you know, I was surprised how early they were introducing that, you know, in my kids' math class, because I can tell you when I got it. I got it in seventh grade, and learning, you know, to factor in those variables and things like that, that was a little bit of a struggle to try and figure out, once you understood that if you factored in the right variables, then the equation worked. Then all of a sudden the light bulb went on and I got it. It was no problem. I wonder if many Christians don't forget to factor in that God is supernatural and omnipotent and omniscient. Don't forget that God the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's the one called alongside to help. One of the most masterful sales jobs that the enemy has ever done is try to convince people that the Holy Spirit is, that God the Holy Spirit is unnecessary in our modern times. Maybe it's because of the technology, maybe it's because of great education, or, you know, the great people or whatever. But I'm here to tell you, none of those things can convict a person's heart of sin. It takes a someone to convict the heart of sin, and that's the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. They did not just pray, God, give your servants boldness in the face of these threats. Make us confident in the face of these threats. God, we want you to do that. We want you to provide us the boldness so that we can speak your word. But when we speak the word, we need you to be hands-on. We need you breaking the strongholds of the enemy. We need you casting out devils. We need you healing the sick. We need supernatural things to take place, but that these things would be accomplished through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Not for my name's sake, not for your name's sake, but for the glory of God, for the name of Jesus. I would challenge you, go back and look in these verses that we've read, 27 through 30, just to try and pick up the servanthood aspect of Jesus. Verse number 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus. Verse number 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants. And then verse number 30, and stretch out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay? And so his servant areas are capitalized in my Bible, but we are also servants. So we're going through a discipleship class that, or sermon series that I've been teaching. And one of the aspects that we need to have is the attitude of a servant. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that was too good to do something, but man, I've done a lot of things that if I had said, I'm too good to do that, they wouldn't have gotten done. I know there are a lot of people who are afraid to step out of their comfort zone and do something. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to step out of his comfort, or out of your comfort zone, and into his comforter zone, where you and the Holy Spirit can accomplish a lot of great things together for the glory of God. So there they are, verse number 30. They have prayed, and it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So let me ask you this question. What happens when you pray? What happens when you pray? And so we're familiar with the passage that says, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. And so when we pray, we expect that much is going to happen. At church, every Sunday morning, we have prayer requests that are presented. Every Wednesday night, there are prayer requests that are presented. And when we pray, we expect to be heard. We expect that the faith that we are demonstrating in God is going to see prayers being answered. And I don't know the purpose of the place where they were assembled together being shaken, but it was not a shaking that instilled fear. It was a shaking that instilled boldness and confidence. And I want to remind you, God cannot be shaken. God cannot be shaken. And so the time's going to come where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I believe that what was taking place here was that when they prayed, that God was moving in their midst to such an extent that the building felt the presence of God as well as the disciples themselves. I believe that God can do that. If he says that a mountain needs to move, and he says speak to it, I expect the mountain is going to move. And so what happened when they were assembled together and it was shaken, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so every time I think of the concept of filling, I think back to my internship when I was in Bible college, and I worked for my pastor. He went to bat so that I could do my internship for him, and it was because he was a great pastor. And he sent me in his car. To this day, this is one of the most terrifying things that I've ever done. He drove a much nicer car than what I was accustomed to driving. He drove a much newer car than I was accustomed to driving. And so here I am. I was 21 years old, and here's my pastor saying, here's the keys to my car, go fill up the car. And I'm like, this is one of those scariest things I've ever done. And so I went, I did it, no scratches, no wrecks. It was a successful trip. And I said, I'm a little confused as to why you sent me down there, because your gas tank had almost a half a tank in it already. And he said, because I like my gas tank full, because I never know when I'm going to be called to a hospital. And it was a pretty good sized city, and he said, I don't want to be racing to the hospital and all of a sudden realize that I've got to stop and get gas. I want to be so he wanted his car filled with gas, but he also wanted to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so I've never forgotten that lesson. And so we've make sure that our vehicles are full. They get a little lower than half before we fill them up. But we need to be filled. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Word of God. You know, you're going to be full of something. There are enough people that are filled with hot air. There are enough people who are filled with bitterness. We need Christians to rise up, to be filled with the love of God, filled with faith, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the love of God, filled to overflowing with all of the greatness of God. And when that happens, then the prayer that we have prayed is going to be answered. Here's how it ends in verse number 31. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know what they prayed? God, grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word. God did it, and they said, so will we. If God did it, we're going to speak the word of God, and we're going to speak it with boldness. Up above in verse number 29, that boldness actually means great confidence. But down here, it means not only boldness, but with courage. With courage. I want to remind you, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's not given you a spirit of timidity, but he's given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And I want to see the people of God operate with a holy boldness. I'm by nature a very timid person, very quiet child, very compliant child, always wanted to do what I was told because I didn't like getting in trouble. It was a painful experience, and I didn't like it. And so I tried to do, but I tell you what, as the years have gone on and the Spirit of God has equipped me for the task, I'm a lot less intimidated by unique experiences or first-time experiences, and I say, God, you can give me the boldness and the courage that I can go ahead and step out and do this and know that you're going to get the glory. And so I pray, if you maybe have a quieter personality, I want you to know, thank God for the quiet times that you have, but let's use that mouth for the glory of God, because there are plenty of people in Brevard County who've never heard of Jesus in any manner other than a person using his name in vain. They need to hear some people that said, look, I know God is alive. I talked to him this morning, and he told me that everything was going to be okay. God bless you. You have a great day. I'm off to celebrate, and I pray that you'll have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Much deeper within, through the way things appear.